Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from St. Peter chapter 2, but with the addition of verses 19 and 20. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Thus our text. This morning I've added a couple more verses to the epistle reading, because it's rather a strange thing to begin a reading with, for to this you have been called, because it begs the question, to what? Have you been called? Well, you've been called to suffer for Christ. You've been called to endure the wrath of a fallen and broken world, because God has called you out of darkness and into the light of his word and truth. So now you bear the name of Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, I've come to bring peace in this world. He said, I've come to bring a sword. He said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And he said, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. That is the truth in which Christians live. But 21st century Christians don't like to suffer for Jesus. It's not in our DNA anymore. We're too far removed from the real suffering for Jesus, like the suffering you see in the Middle East and the Far East. We're at the point where we don't even like to be embarrassed for Jesus. We're like the 13-year-old who ducks down in the car because he doesn't want his friends to see him with his parents. We don't want our friends to see us with Jesus, so we hide our face. Maybe that's a product or an influence of political correctness. You see, the only real virtue in a politically correct culture is to be nice to everyone, so everyone will be nice to you. Just go along and get along. Live and let live. And there's not much suffering in that. After all, Jesus was nice, wasn't he? He just wanted to get along with everybody, right? Well, do you know what a caricature is? It's a portrait that exaggerates one aspect of a person's face or body. For example, caricature artists like to distort Barack Obama's ears or Donald Trump's hair. Now, Obama's ears don't go out to here, and Trump's hair doesn't cover his eyes like a sheepdog. You see, portraits aren't true to life. But sometimes a caricature isn't a picture, it's an attitude. Sometimes we make caricatures of people based on things that we might conclude about them. Like, well, for example, librarians are old maids, blondes are dizzy, and lawyers are greedy and dishonest. Those are caricatures. I'm sure if you're a librarian or a blonde or a lawyer, you would be offended by those caricatures. And when it comes to Jesus, one of the most frequent caricatures that I encounter is that Jesus was a nice guy. He was a person who wouldn't hurt a flea. He wouldn't say a bad thing about anyone. He lived and let live. And since Jesus is our example, then the most important quality in a Christian is to be nice. So it isn't Christian to stand up for your faith and tell someone else that their faith is wrong. It isn't Christian to speak against godlessness. We're here to be nice, which means we don't need to suffer for our faith. We need to be nice for our faith. Perhaps this caricature of Jesus comes from a passage like our text. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. But Jesus is more than just a nice guy. He's a lot more complicated than that. I think you'll find that Scripture portrays Jesus as a real person with real emotions. Someone who wasn't afraid to speak his mind, to say what needed to be said. Yes, Jesus was kind and gentle with children. He was patient with sinners. And when he was wronged, he didn't strike back. He turned the other cheek. But he wasn't a live and let live kind of person. He didn't practice political correctness. And there were times when he could be really, really angry, especially when it came to his father's people or his father's house. And there were times when he'd say things that we would consider hurtful, or at least in bad taste. So just because Jesus allowed himself to suffer wrongdoing doesn't mean that he tolerated evil and sin and lies. Today, let's consider then what it means when St. Peter describes Jesus as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Just what kind of shepherd is Jesus? Today's gospel reading is the fulfillment of both today's Old Testament reading and Psalm 23. In Ezekiel, the Lord himself said, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep." And in the 23rd Psalm, David proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd," and says, "In the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the rod and the staff of my shepherd comfort me." Now, you're probably familiar with a shepherd's staff. It was that long stick-like thing with a crook on the end. It was used for guiding sheep here and there with a tap. It was also used to rescue them with a sharp pull around their neck. Sheep's wool absorbs water, and if they fall into a stream, they drown. The shepherd's staff would grab them and rescue them. Now, a nice shepherd probably wouldn't use the shepherd's staff, since it would often hurt the sheep that it was trying to rescue, but a good shepherd would. He knows that a little bit of hurt is far better than the death that would be caused by an enemy of the sheep or those raging streams. Now, the shepherd's rod was a pole, kind of like a bat, with a knob on the end. It was used as a weapon. The shepherd would use the rod to inflict physical harm on the enemies of his flock, but also he would use it on an unruly sheep. A disobedient sheep would get wrapped right between the eyes, get the thing's attention. Now, a nice shepherd probably wouldn't use his rod on a bear or a sheep. That would hurt the poor thing, but a good shepherd would. And certainly a nice shepherd wouldn't use it to bonk his own sheep on the head, but a good shepherd would, because he knows that sometimes stubborn, wandering sheep need to get their attention. Far from being a nice guy, the book of Revelation portrays Jesus like this. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can hear the sharpness of the Lord's tongue when he said to the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." And this is what he said to his disciples. "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He wasn't referring to bread. He was referring to their false teaching and their hypocrisy. By today's politically correct standards, Jesus wasn't being very nice. But as the shepherd and overseer of our souls, he was protecting his flock from the enemy. an enemy that was trying to lead God's people astray, where the devil could devour them. Now, Jesus wouldn't protect his own body from evildoers. But listen to what Jesus did to protect his Father's house from evildoers. In the temple, Jesus found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there, and making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." Does that sound like a nice guy to you? Is that a politically correct thing to do according to our 21st century sensibilities? But the real Jesus of the Bible was zealous for the sanctity of his Father's house, zealous for the sanctity of God's truth, and zealous for the salvation of God's people. Now, if someone is attacking you, would you want a nice guy who wouldn't hurt a flea to come to your rescue? That's an oxymoron, because he wouldn't come to your rescue. A guy whose attitude is live and let live isn't going to help you. A guy who's concerned more about the rights of the criminal than the victim isn't going to help you. Who you want to come rescue you is SEAL Team 6, right? To save us from our mortal enemies, the Good Shepherd got into a knockdown, drag-out, bloody battle to the death with Satan, the world, and your sinful flesh. He wasn't nice to the enemies of salvation. He crushed the head of Satan. He overcame the lies and death of this world, and he drowned your old Adam in the waters of baptism. But his victory cost him his life. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, Peter says. Jesus didn't look for a safe space. And he didn't care about how Twitter would react. The Good Shepherd was willing to suffer and die for the sake of his people, for the sake of God's word, and for the sake of his Father's name. He was willing to suffer embarrassment, humiliation, pain, and death for you. But Jesus didn't stay down. He rose again in victory. And his enemies have become his footstool. That's a very politically incorrect picture. Ancient Near Eastern kings, when they would conquer another king, they would have that king brought into their court, and then they would literally stand on the neck of that king to show who was the boss. Jesus now stands as a victor upon this world of sin and death. It is his footstool. He is victorious. Now, as Christians, we do want to be kind and gentle, patient and understanding, like Paul said. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And like Peter said, for this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. But this doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat and let the world walk all over you, allow unscrupulous individuals to take advantage of you. For heaven's sake, if a contractor cheats you out of your money, take him to court. That is your right. You would file charges against someone who robs you, correct? And Paul says, but Paul says, speak the truth in love. If someone blasphemes God, speak the truth in love. If someone slanders a fellow believer, speak the truth in love. If someone questions that Jesus is the only way to heaven, speak the truth in love. But if someone ridicules you for your Christian faith, for your stance on biblical marriage, for your defense of the unborn, then turn the other cheek. Then suffer for your faith. For that is the example of our Savior. That's the suffering that we're called to endure because we follow Christ. You see, political correctness is really the art of lying to people. Letting people live in the delusions of their sins and their sinful lifestyles. But then there's a lot of Christians, myself included, who do try to be nice when we are wronged because we've spoken the truth, stood up for the rights of the unborn, or proclaimed Jesus as Lord and Savior. But you wouldn't want to read our minds, because though we try to be nice on the outside, what's on the inside reveals that we continue to be a sinful people. We're not much like Christ if you could only read our minds. That's because the old Adam is still alive and kicking within us. We still struggle with sin. We need the good shepherd of our souls to do daily violence to the old Adam, to crush it with the rod of God's law, drown it again and again in daily repentance. When the devil tempts us to sin, we need the good shepherd to show him the door to hell. And when the world lies to us and wants to lead us into destruction, we need the good shepherd to teach us his truth and guide us on his path of truth and righteousness. And to do this for his name's sake, even that means we have to suffer. For it's only through Jesus that we can overcome our sinful nature. It's only through Jesus that we can overcome the temptations of Satan and the lies of this world. And it's only through Jesus, through his shaping and forming us by his rod and his staff, that we learn to be like Jesus, to entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. You see, the world does judge you. It will bless you for being nice to it, for going along with it, for agreeing with it. And it will curse you and condemn you for going against it, for opposing it. But the world is not the final judge of you. The final judge is God the Father and those who live in Christ are judged justly, judged righteous by God the Father. So I bet, though, if you interviewed a Pharisee or a Sadducee today, they'd tell you that Jesus wasn't a very nice guy. Called them false teachers, right? Told you to beware of them. That's why they had him crucified. And if you could interview your sinful nature, or the world, or that old wily foe, the devil, they would tell you that Jesus isn't a very nice guy either. In fact, they try to tell you that every day. But remember, Jesus did what is necessary to protect his flock, to keep it from straying, and to save it from its enemies. Even when it doesn't seem nice, Jesus is doing what he needs to do to save you and keep you in his flock. Because Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You can entrust yourselves into his hands. When the world hates you, reviles you, persecutes you, wants to destroy you for being Christian, remember, you are in your Savior's hands. And because God took care of his son, when his son was reviled and killed and raised him from the dead, know that he will take care of you. And in the end, he will raise you from the dead, that you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.